Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee. The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Do or die game coming up here. What more can you say? You're now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We have a loaded show. We got David James over there, first and foremost, making this thing happen.
Oh, yeah. Let's get started.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got Chris Sanders coming on. We're going to talk a little bit about this game and what Josh Dobbs presents for the Titans. So we'll get into that. And we got Mike DiRocco, ESPN NFL Nation Jags reporter. You know what we do each and every week. We got to bring in, you know, let you guys get to know your opposition. And that's what we're going to do. Run it back, right, with Mike DiRocco after just a couple weeks ago. This Titans and Jaguars team faced each other. Before we do that, let's go ahead and actually, I want to take a second. Obviously, you know, with everything that happened with DeMar Hamlin, that was crazy.
It was nuts, dude.
Yeah. I don't want to call it a tragedy because I'm holding out hope that the young man is going to make it through. And by all indications, things are taking a turn for the better. So that's awesome. I love the way everybody came together and just and watching that. Like you saw things just because, I mean, we watch so much football. You see a guy go down. They go to commercial. You're like, hey, look, man, you know, they're going to come back. He's going to be good. Game's going to keep rolling. And even when there's an injury in practice, right, like, the trainers go over and they tend to the guy. They take the ball, move it up 10 yards, and practice resumes. And, I mean, I've seen, like, I remember with Jonathan Cyprian.
Yep.
When he got Cody Hollister, when he got hurt last year. You know, different guys. Like, I remember them getting year-long injuries, and it was just like, all right. Yeah. The train keeps rolling. But this was one instance where it absolutely could not. And Zach Taylor, Sean McDermott, they did an excellent job of saying, you know what? We know what you want, but we ain't doing it. You know, so I wanted to open up, just share a little bit about that. Rashad Weaver, who played ball with DeMar Hamlin at Pitt, we got to talk to him, and it was tough, man. Like, you know, you saw it. Just start just brewing, you know, and he was talking about how they hung out at Pitt. They came in together 2016. They came out, you know, for the draft together, and they both had their clothing lines. And, yeah, you just saw it, and that's why I cut the video.
Because yeah.
I'm like, you know, I'm not going to put that man out there. But exactly. I told him afterwards, you know, after he broke down and everything, you know, I told him a good 30 minutes after work, you got to let that man gather himself and have his moment. I went over to him, just said, man, you know, I appreciate you talking. You know what I mean? And I know that's got to be tough for him because losing a friend, I don't know if you ever lost a friend, especially at a young age like that, it's crazy.
It's tough. It's really tough.
So definitely, you know, wanted to make sure that we expressed our understanding and empathy for the situation, you know, what has happened. But there's, you know, the show does go on. Unfortunately, that's just the way this business is. It's the way life is.
Yeah.
You have to turn the page and move on. But as we do that again, definitely praying that young DeMar Hamlin can get better and get as good as possible. Cause I know the situation is dire. But when you look at this before – that because that was the last game of the week. The first game of the week was Titans Cowboys, and man, you know, they won the turnover battle, so that was a good thing, right? They were able to get Kevin Byard, you know, two really good intercepts. Well, one it was just like it bounced off of the tight end, but when he swooped down and stepped in front of that pass and picked it off, like that's vintage Kevin Byard, and that's something that. A lot of people have said, hey, where's the interceptions? And, you know, he got two in that game. Sometimes they come in bunches. I know for the Titans' sake, they hope they come in bunches on Saturday. But staying with that Cowboys game, getting Josh Dobbs in the mix, I thought that was solid for them. It's funny because sometimes I have to remind myself, hey, they didn't win the game. Like, they scored 13 points.
Exactly.
And that's the thing that's so interesting. They passed the ball more than any other time they have this year. Obviously, with Derrick Henry not in the mix, as Todd Downing said on Wednesday, it's a lot easier to call more passing plays, and that's what they did. Dobbs had multiple throws that I think were solid ones. You know, the one to Treylon Burks along the sideline there, the toe-tap one where, as AJ said, bro, a ballerina, you know, that was a good one. I thought the seam to Racy McMath was solid because it got him the ball before that safety could get there and you know, get a hit in. You look at that one, but my favorite one, and it's funny because he spoke on Tuesday, and I asked him about that throw. That hashed the sideline, you know, and Robert Woods was the field side receiver, meaning so it was on the opposite hash, on the left hash. Whenever it's on the, you know, one of the hash marks, it's clearly there's a boundary, which is the short side of the field, but then you got the wide side of the field. That's the field side. Robert Woods ran an outbreaking route. Dobbs dropped back, got to the top tip of his drop, took that step, let that thing go. And it was a rope, hash the sideline throw. You have, those are the kind, if you're not on point with that, that's a pick six.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's a pick six, but he put it out there and it wasn't a touchdown. That's all right. It was 3rd and 8. It's a 9-yard completion. And he gave Robert Woods enough time to catch that thing, get his feet in down in bounds, and try to turn it up a little bit. But that throw was ultra impressive, and I talked to him about that. You know, just I told him, like, man, that was, it's a big time throw, man. I appreciate what you were able to do on that play. And it's funny because when I talked to him, he said Ben Roethlisberger was in his mind when that play happened. He talked to Roethlisberger after the performance, and that was one of the things that Roethlisberger said. But you know, as far as just being able to play after backing him up for so long, you know, the couple years or so, I asked Dobbs just what is it that you learned from Roethlisberger. Here's what he had to say.
I think just watching how he prepared, you know, I think like a lot of times in the media, he might get some flack for his preparation, but he's been, you know, he's played a lot of football, seen a lot of football, and how he prepared for these big games. You know, I definitely have taken a lot of notes. You know, Pittsburgh went to the playoffs 3 times while I was up there, so seeing, you know, his preparation a couple times, it was up to that last game to get into the playoffs, and seeing how consistent he was, how he poured into the guys, how he just talked about the details with the receivers for timing, spacing on the field, and that you saw it unfold throughout the game, those little things he was talking about. So just taking tidbits from that to my game has definitely been crucial.
He vouched for you on social media. Have you guys gotten to speak?
Yeah, so it's funny. When I got back to my phone, he was texting. We texted a little bit about the game. He said, thanks for giving me a reason to watch a Thursday night football. But we were talking about, you know, it's funny, you know, got there as a rookie and a couple of throws, like, to the sideline. Our QB coach at the time, Randy, you know, he poured into us. Me at nauseam, Ben had probably heard it for 10, 12 years by that point, but saying, hey, throw the ball to the sideline, let the receiver drag his toes, you know. And we had the big third down to Woody, where it was a throw to the sideline, right? It was the same throw that, you know, he yelled at me constantly about leaving the ball inside. So Ben sent me a text like, hey, you heard Randy in your ear saying throw the ball to the sideline and drag his toes. So just little things like that. We were able to talk about the game, which was cool. It was great to have that relationship. Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer. So I'm really thankful for that relationship. I appreciate his support.
See, can't leave that one inside.
You can't.
Because that thing will be house called. But I like just, he's, and I could see why, you know, talking to Chig, Mike Vrabel has said it too, like he has a calming presence. I could see that because he is very just relaxed. And the moment just doesn't seem to get too big for him. That's cliche. I hate saying that, but I could see that with him. And it's funny because you go back to after his first start. You know, we asked him the anticipation. I asked him how did he manage to settle himself down because he had those early throws where there were drops the receivers got to help him, but you could always help your help help you better, right? And that is not exactly what happened on those throws, but he was able to, as he told me, he said, you know, I just had to take a deep breath and just take it one play at a time, and then you start to see the plays being made. Were there plays that he would like to have back, like the outbreaking route to Burks that ended up being picked off? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Or the when he was on the move and instead of throwing it away, he took the sack. Yeah, he'd like to have those back. Mm-hmm. It's his first start.
Exactly. I think that's the most important part. It was his first start. Gotta give him a little break.
You could build upon that. I think that's the important part. And I'll tell you another thing that's interesting. I didn't realize that Vol's social media was this fanatical.
Oh, they love Josh Dobbs.
They love him.
They love him.
They love him. But it's interesting because I posted that, you know, the Robert Woods throw was a little high.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to you, David, you would have thought I said that, you know, Jesus never existed.
Like, oh my God.
People were really like,
oh, yeah.
I was getting curse words in my replies. I'm like, wow, okay.
They take him seriously. He beat Georgia and Florida for them. So
for their sake, for his sake, you know what? For my sake, I hope the Titans win because I want to cover another game. And I'm a joke with D-Rock about that, man. Like, I'm not ready for the season to end. It's crazy. Like, you blink your eyes and it goes from August or September to January. And just like, what happened to all that time? But, hey, it is what it is. You know, here we are. It's January. There's one game left. No one is picking the Titans. Some of the guys like that.
Yeah.
You know, like Jeffrey Simmons, for example. I asked him about that. You know, he talked about also the challenge. Like, he issued a challenge to Titans fans. And, you know, that Thursday game, I mean, the Titans came out of the tunnel and they got booed in their own house. I'm not saying that's going to happen in Jacksonville, but, you know, Titans fans, you guys travel well. You know, Cadillac, Chili Pepper. My guy Juan, I mean, like, there's a good group, man, a good group that travels to a lot of these games, and I see them at home games also. So definitely you guys keep it up, man. Hopefully we'll see you in Jacksonville. But this is what Jeffrey Simmons, his challenge to the fans, how much he's looking forward to this game, and why he loves the role of being someone nobody picks.
You can't ask for nothing better. I mean, this is not one of the things where, you know, we normally go to Jacksonville, but I mean, we put ourselves in this hole. And this, like I said, this I don't know what no one else, nowhere else I'd rather be than going and trying to get a win at Jacksonville. And I know the fans gonna be behind them because they have a lot of faith in their team. I have a lot of faith in my guys, and I hope all fans come and travel with us. You know, just to go down there and help us out, you know, even when they're on the field at home. I mean, it'll be big because, man, we saw last week the Cowboys fan travel. It sounded like it was almost a home game for them. So it's like, can we do the same thing in a big game like this coming up this weekend? And that's my challenge to the fans. I hope we can get down to Jacksonville and help us get a win this weekend.
That villain and or you against the world type of situation?
In essence,
this is
a playoff.
It's a playoff. It's the first. I mean, we just starting a week earlier than everyone else. Because it's win or go home. Win or go home. That's what it is. I mean, that's how playoff is, win or go home.
That villain or you against the world type of situation, is that one that you relish?
I think when we're talking about that, it's just like, you know, no one think we can go down there and get this win. Just the way we've been, I guess, playing, and everyone don't see the other small things, that reason why we're really losing. But I think when we talk about the faith that we have in each other in this locker room and our team and the coaches and everyone, you know, it is that because, you know, no one believes but us in this locker room that we could go down and actually get a win. So
there you have it right there. No one believes in us other than those in this locker room that we could go down to Jacksonville and get a win. Imagine that they do pull that out, man. That'll be something. But, hey, listen, you know, my little moment of frustration in that question, I was like, come on. That's one thing I will say. It's starting to become a little more competitive, asking questions and stuff like that. Like, you really have to talk over people. I feel like I'm back in, you know, Eagles media, you know. But it's all good, man. It's all good. So I just want to see how this thing pans out, man. We had to shift some things around for this game, right? It went from a Sunday, a possible Sunday, to a Saturday. It's prime time. The Titans are on extended rest. Danico Autry is bouncing around practice. Jeffrey Simmons is lively. You look at, you know, Treylon Burks had the groin injury he suffered during practice. Terrell Basham on Tuesday, they were doing their outside linebacker drills where they work on using their hands to knock the offensive lineman's hands down and hug them and stay close as they bend and come off that edge. And he tweaked his back doing that. So we'll see, you know, how that one continues to work out. But overall health seems to be solid. Derrick Henry practiced full. You had multiple guys, you know, but the Treylon Burks one is something to – a groin is just, oof, that's not good. And David Long obviously is a guy that a lot of people want to know about and see if he could be activated. I mean, there's one more practice before the game, so I don't think that's going to happen. But next week, you know, if they make it to the playoffs, hey, he could make his return right there at Nissan Stadium, and you folks could make your return. And I tell you what, regardless of what happens, man, this has been a great year. I've enjoyed it. We've made some huge strides just as far as, like, you know, continuing to put out content. And we're coming up on show number 200, too. This is number 199. Hopefully number 200 will be looking back on a win that pushed this team into the playoffs and looking forward to that playoff game. Because, like I said, I don't want to stop working.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, show 200 could also be looking at draft, you know. So one way or another, we're going to keep this thing rolling, just like everything else. So we're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll be right back. Run TMC. What's up, everyone? This is Teron Davenport. I want to tell you about Sarah Chevrolet Buick GMC of Nashville. They took great care of me when I got my brand new Camaro. They have hundreds of new or gently pre-owned vehicles, special discounts, and monthly incentives. They don't have any market adjustments, zero dealer ads. Save, save, save. You could go online to chat, check availability, and purchase your vehicle without ever stepping foot into the dealership. Or you could go there and see my guy, Josh Lemon. Either way, check them out at sarahnashville.com. That's S-E-R-R-A, nashville.com. And tell them TD sent you.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run, DMC. Bye, for you. Fresh. All right, here we go. Lights dim. The music fades. We're gonna go up north today. Now, coming to you live from the Boston Garden, starting at shooting guard from Illinois, number 7, Dee Brown.
Well, you crazy.
And now, the show that Bill Cosby wrote, Little Bill, starring as himself, Little Bill.
I guess because we both got the bald heads, huh?
Man, you look just like Little Bill. Al Jarreau, Gary Comey, you look like all three of them together, man.
All right, Steel, you got that one, man. You got
did I win it? Am I up by 30 now?
Nah, 26.
Man, what's going on with you, boss? Man, what's the word? Give me some good football news.
Hey, man, I tell you what. I think what we got to see on Thursday was a progression, and that's probably what we want to. I want to get into that a little bit. Just when you look at Josh Dobbs out there, I think you know, I'm as big of a Malik Willis supporter as anyone. I was thoroughly disappointed he didn't get the start.
I did too. I was though. too.
I get it. And I think when you look at Dobbs out there, some of the things that we saw later in the game really, you know, they impressed me. But let's talk about early in the game. And you made a good point before we came on about the need of receivers to help their quarterback. Now, here's the thing. The quarterback has to help the receivers, too.
Absolutely.
When I say that, I'm talking about the throw to Robert Woods that was high across the middle. You know, you can't be high across the middle. That's top of the numbers to face mask. That's the ideal placement. But it hit his hands and he dropped it. Then you look at Austin Hooper. You know, there was one a little bit behind him.
Yep.
It hit one of his hands and he dropped it. And you look at Traylon Burks. He had the one across the middle. It was behind him. Make no mistake about it. And it's hard to throttle down and peel back and make that catch. But on top of that, Burks jumped and hit his hands and he dropped it. So tell me, as someone who's, you know, done that at the highest level, how important it is to help your quarterback.
You know, you just got to make the play. I mean, you said some great points with Woods and Burks and Hooper. Even though it's behind you, even if it's a little high, even though it's outstretched where you can't get it, sometimes you got to have that extra oomph to make a play, because we never know what the quarterback's going through. As a receiver, when we're running around, we don't know if he's under distress, or we don't know if he has to leave the pocket until maybe later on in the play. But we got to help him out by, number one, running the proper route, getting to the proper depth. But also, if it's behind you, make the play. If it's a little high, jump up, make the play. If it hits you in your hands, make the play. That's how you help the quarterback out. You know, because when you're a quarterback and you're throwing the ball, you're throwing to a spot. Because sometimes when you're rolling out, just like what they did with Dobbs, sometimes, you know, he may not even see the receiver. He may be throwing to a spot. Or there may be a hand up on the line of scrimmage to where he has to throw the ball higher than usual. So what the receiver has to do is say, you know what? I understand it's high. I got to make it. I understand it. It may be a little low. I got to make it. And that's how you help your quarterback out.
Make the adjustment. That's what you have
make
to do.
Make the adjustment. Absolutely.
You know, when you're a team that's starving for plays, you get an opportunity to make a play. Like, you got to make it, because those opportunities seem to be few and far between. But, you know, later in the game, it started to happen a little bit more. And I want to get into that. My favorite throw, and I told Dobbs this after he spoke on Tuesday, my favorite throw was the hash – opposite hash to sideline, third and eight.
Oh, yeah.
Outbreaking route to Robert Woods. That thing was on schedule. I talked to Woods about it. He said, you know, it was placed really well, and it allowed him to get his feet down and turn up a little bit upfield. Right. When you're seeing those throws, you know, especially in that situation, right, you have your drop, you get to the top of your drop, and see it full and rip it. And that's what he did. How important is that to the offense?
Man, it is. Because if you look at the last maybe 4 or 5 weeks before even Dobbs even came here, you know, there was no confidence in this offense. There was no confidence with the passing, and there was no confidence with the quarterback because, you know, Malik Willis was in a situation. But when you're on the sideline, especially as a defense, and you're watching Dobbs making plays like that, it ignites a fire in the offense. It ignites a fire on the defense, because you say, you know what? Even though our quarterback play struggled a little bit, I'm not going to put it all on Malik Willis, but then now you got a guy coming in here, Dobbs, that's making plays like that. So now you got a situation to where now you're going to play the Jacksonville Jaguars. As opposed of coming in with less confidence, you're going in with a little pep in yourself. Say, you know what? If I got Dobbs making plays like that, if I got Dobbs making throws like that, then it gives us an opportunity to win. Because if you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, when they struggled early in the season, it was because of the quarterback play of Lawrence. He was making some good plays, but on the flip side, he was creating turnovers. He was throwing interceptions. He wasn't protecting the football. But then now he's playing with confidence. He's playing with a little bit of swagger. He's throwing the ball to you like, oh my gosh, it ignites everybody to play with confidence. Why? Because your leaders are making plays like that.
How much do you think Dobbs will help add to balance on offense for this Titans team?
I mean, I think it's going to be huge, TD. I mean, because you talk about – that's a big word, balance. Because, you know, everybody knows the identity of this football team is running the football. They're going to stack – they're going to put 8 or 9 guys in the box. They're going to stack the box, bring the safety down, whatever, and they're going to stop the run. But then now you add another element to where Dobbs can do some naked, some boots, and also throw it to, you know, Burks and to Woods and to Hooper and to Chig. that's exactly what you want, because the Titans went from one-dimensional to two-dimensional to where, you know what, we can run and we can pass. And here's the good thing about the whole situation. Now you have the opportunity to pass on first down. Now you can stay in front of the chains. Now you can say, you know what, even though you're low in the box, I'm going to figure out a way to make some plays on the perimeter with my wide receivers.
Do you think the play calling changes with Dobbs in there as opposed to Willis?
Absolutely. I mean, it does. Because, you know, and this is just my opinion. I'm not saying they're doing this, but when you look at the situation with Willis, they probably gave him about 8 or 9 plays to say, this is what we're running, and this is all you can do. Now you have Dobbs that's been playing. Actually, he hasn't been playing a lot, but he had a lot of experience by learning in Pittsburgh behind Roethlisberger of understanding the whole offense, understanding the whole defense, understanding when they're going to miss, understanding, you know, when he threw the long passing math and understanding they're in a cover two shell, the safety blitzes late, and know that it's cover three on man to man on the outside. Those are the things that he's seeing. So when you have a quarterback that's doing those things, then now you can throw the whole book at him and say, you know what, we can run boots, we can run dropbacks, we can run sprint outs, we can run count, all those things, because he does. He's not just limited of doing, you know, eight or nine things. You can open up the playbook and make plays and have a balanced offense, like exactly what you said.
So when you see Willis and what has happened, and, you know, Mike Vrabel made an interesting point.
Right.
He talked about how over the last four weeks or so, they haven't been able to really go full speed. They've been basically at walkthrough pace in practice.
Yeah.
And he said that.
Yeah.
It's hurt Willis's development.
When
you look at where he was in April until now, is it disappointing?
No, because I'm kind of looking at the overall thing. I think sometimes people look, okay, if he doesn't come out right away in one stinking year to get rid of, that's, let me tell you something, that's flat out hogwash. You got to look at the situation. The offensive line is struggling. You know, you put them in a pressure situation to where they have to win. That's tough for anybody. Did they get? And I know it's a little different situation. Did they give up on Peyton Manning when he came in his first year and threw 17 interceptions? He trusted the process. They have a situation with Dobbs to where I think he got drafted 2016 or 2017, but he sat and he learned. He sat and somebody taught him the defense. He sat and learned with his mind as opposed to physically actually playing in the game. Willis didn't have that chance. Immediately when he came into camp, he was automatically the second guy. He was automatically thrown into the fire. He was automatically, you know, saying, okay, you got to go out there and do that. And I don't think we should evaluate him having a couple of games that were bad and saying that he's just an awful quarterback. I don't think it's fair.
Well, what do you say to the people? Because you say a couple of games that were bad, but,
yeah,
you know, a less than 50% completion percentage, you know, passing touchdowns in 3 games. No 100-yard passing performance. When you look at those numbers, like, how can you look at the? And I'm not saying that means he's doomed, because I believe that he can still work out. But how can you look at those and say that he still has a chance?
Yeah, but you just got to trust the process. And I know we say that, and I know it's coach talk, but I'm going to give you a perfect example. When Steve McNair came in, it was exactly like Malik Willis. He struggled a little bit. He was, you know, understanding defense. He was understanding all these things. And I understand that Malik got drafted in the third round and Matt got drafted in the first round. But the comparison is both of them struggled early. But once they sat and he learned behind Chandler, and he learned once he got in the game and understood that, you know, I don't have to do this all by myself, and I just make the plays when they're made. And I think that that's the same thing with Malik Willis. Everybody wants to throw him out and say he's not good and he can't read coverages and all that nonsense, all that garbage. And I understand the percentages. That's great. I understand the percentages. But even though that's a fact, that's maybe not the truth. And I'm going to share this. Because the thing about it is, the fact is, you know, that it is, but the truth can change. But see, that's exactly what can happen with Malik. The fact is, you know, you're 50% or your QB rating is terrible. But the truth is, it can change in years to come.
And I think that's the thing that people have to understand. We're talking about, you know, a 3.5 game stretch. And it's way too early.
Come on, man.
Make an indictment. I mean, you look at how much better, even just take Kenny Pickett, for example. How much
better
he got over this time. So I think players can get better, and it's definitely premature to give up on Willis. But let's spin it back to, you know, what's at hand, and that's a winning end game against Jacksonville. When you look at this matchup, what do you think are the keys on offense to be able to beat the Jaguars?
Champ, me and you already know this because, you know, we are football group, run the stinking ball. Run the ball. Because here's the thing, TD. If you run the ball, it sets up everything else. Henry's going to get his 100-something yards, maybe 200. And when you start running the ball, you got to bring an extra safety up. And then now here comes the play action. And then when that situation happens, where you said it earlier in the show, to have a balanced offense, that's going to happen. Why? Because the identity of your team is running the football. So if they just run the football and stay in front of the chains, now you have so many options that Dobbs can do. You have so many options for, you know, the receivers to make plays on the perimeter and also with the tight end to get Chig and Hooper involved. Why? Because it's all benefited by the run game.
Yeah, yeah, the running game is that keys it all. I think
absolutely. One
of the things that have to be highlighted is Chig Okonkwo. And you got to get him the ball. Get him, because he's a big play waiting to happen. You look at defensively, you know, offensively for the Jaguars. I mean, you look at the way that they're designing ways to get Evan Engram the ball in space. And it's all catching, you know. And he's padding Trevor Lawrence's stats with those catches and runs. You could do the same thing with Okonkwo. So I think that's something that has to happen. When you flip it to the defensive side, I mean, I mentioned Evan Engram. What do the Titans have to do in order to corral this Jaguars offense?
You know, I think we're going to stop the passing game. The one thing I'm concerned about is the running game now. They figured this thing out. I mean, I can't pronounce – is it Edney? I can't pronounce his name.
Etienne, Travis Etienne.
Travis Etienne. Did you see what he did last week against the Texans? And I understand that you know, the Texans have a terrible run game, stopping the run. But, man, that just adds another element to what they're doing. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is playing Evans Mind. You got Engram. You got Jones. You got all those guys that can play on the perimeter. But also, you got a running game to where the Titans are going to have to put another guy in the box so the running game doesn't get started. And now they're going to have to cover those wide receivers on the outside. So they're going to have a big task because now – you know, just like what the Titans have now, they can have a balanced offense. It's the same thing with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They got a great passing game, and then now they got their running game that's coming to fruition. So they just got to make sure they don't give us explosive plays out there, and I think they definitely can be all right.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That's going to be tough. And this is a team, you know, they focus on stopping the run, but, I mean, listen, teams have been able to pass the ball on them. And Shane Bowen said, like, you know, it has nothing to do with stopping the run. You know what I mean? They're two isolated things. They just – teams have been able to do it, and they have to stop it. I think when you look at Christian Fulton possibly coming back, we'll see. You know, you look at Amani Hooker possibly coming back, that should help. But for me, it's Zay Jones, man. Making plays for them, man. He's not the fastest guy or swiftest or anything like that.
Smooth,
he's just stepping up for them in a big way.
Yeah, but here's another cat that didn't have a good game against the Titans, but they can't let him get off in this game. Is Christian Kirk. He quietly has 1,000 yards. I mean, quietly has 1,000 yards. So we can't forget about him. Zay Jones is a dog. I mean, he's one of those guys that can stretch the field. But don't forget about Christian Kirk, man. He's a good yard after catch guy. So, you know, they just got to be on tack to really stop that passing game. But here's the kicker of the whole game, TD, who I think could dominate like they did last week. Is Kevin Byard. The reason why I say Kevin Byard is slip up and get those interceptions, but also, you know, have him like a robber. And then another thing is have him blitz off the edge again to put some pressure on Lawrence. So I think, you know, Byard can be big in this game.
Yeah, blitz him to impact the quarterback, right? You don't have to get the sack.
Yes, sir.
Impact him to make him, you know, be careless with the football. I tell you what, DeNico Autry, Jeffrey Simmons, full speed. Autry he's had bounce in practice this week, man. I will say that.
Did he?
Watching him on Tuesday and Wednesday. So that's going to be a positive. And you saw how disruptive he was when he came back. You know, I know it was a loss, but he still was doing some things, you know, against the Texans to put them in position to win the game. And, you know, another thing that we have to mention, turnovers. They have to control that turnover battle.
Yeah,
and that's what gave him a shot against Dallas.
Yep,
it gave him a shot. You know, they were plus one in that turnover balance, so that definitely helped them out. But you know, at the end of the day, look, it's gonna be a big opportunity for this team to, absolutely, you know, end the losing streak and also, you know, turn things around, man. It's they're due. They're due. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, man. I was watching Family Feud, man. And, you know, they asked a question. They said TD, they had a question about you. There's like, you know, TD that, you know, works in Nashville. And they had a picture of Sam Cassell and Tyrone Hill. And, you know, one of the guys hit the button. They said, which guy does TD look like? And everybody, you know, unanimously said Sam Cassell. So congrats.
Well, you know, the good thing is, I guess we're on to something. They must be listening to the show because, you know, you got the Tyrone Hill comparison. So they knew to pick Sam Cassell for me, Tyrone Hill for you.
What's up, everybody? This is Teron Davenport here for Superbook Sports, and I want you to add this to your New Year's resolutions. Win money in 2023 with Superbook Sports. Superbook has over 3 decades of sports wagering experience in Las Vegas, so you'll get the best odds anywhere as we head into the football playoffs. Plus, check out the special odds boosts and promotions at Superbook.com. Make 2023 the year when you win money from Vegas. Download the Superbook Sports app now and place your bets. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
Living my best life. Ain't going back to fuck with you.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. You hear a little Duval, man. We're going to go to an organization that's living their best life, get an inside scoop at them as we go to the Sarah, GMC, Chevy hotline here. We're going to bring in ESPN NFL Nation, Jaguars reporter, Michael DiRocco. Mike, what's going on, man?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we are living our best life. At least for us, you know, we don't have a horse in the race, right? You know, the Titans do, and I don't know that that's music that they could play in the locker room, but, man, they could play that down there in Jacksonville, that's for sure. You called something like this a while ago. You know, you said they would win some games, and one of them was the Titans game. What's been going on with this team? Like, just give me just cliff notes. What's happening?
Well, Trevor's playing like a top five quarterback in the NFL. That's the biggest difference, you know, between that first half of the season and especially in October now, is that he is just been fantastic. I mean, he leads the league in completion since November started. Leads the league in completion percentage. He's second in passer rating. You know, 20 almost 2,100 yards, 14 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. So I mean, he is just playing at another level that we hadn't seen him play at before. And you know, the defense has taken advantage of playing some pretty mediocre quarterbacks the last couple of weeks. I mean, the Jets, and then last week against the Texans. You know, they've only given up 2 field goals, 1 in each game. So, you know, from that standpoint, they've been able to take advantage of the opportunities that have been put in front of them. And we may have gotten to the point with this franchise, I think, that they're going to rarely lose games against the teams that they should beat. And the two teams they played the last 2 weeks were teams that they should have beaten, and they took care of business in both games. So maybe we've gotten to that point in terms of watching this franchise finally kind of turn a corner and at least be a franchise that's competent. And, you know, we'll see if they can take that next step on Saturday night.
Is there something where, you know, with this four game streak, I believe.
Yes.
Do they have to be cautious about getting cocky or overconfident?
You know, I don't think so. And, you know, we've talked with some of these guys about that, because every time we ask about that, they refer back to October when they went 0-5 in October and had two of their worst losses of their two worst losses of the year against the Texans at home and, you know, in London against the Denver Broncos. So I don't think that'll be an issue in terms of, you know, against playing against the Titans, a team that they beat, you know, a month or so ago or whatever it was, and beat pretty well up there in Nashville. I don't see that being a problem for this team.
With that being said, Evan Engram, he's played as well as he's played in his career, you know, in this barring last week against the Texans. What has been the uptick for him? What's behind that?
Well, he's playing in an offense that, you know, really involves a tight end pretty heavily. You know, mm-hmm. Doug Peterson did it when obviously he was in Philadelphia. He had Zach Ertz, and then they drafted Dallas Goedert and put those guys on the field at the same time. You know, they have taken advantage of some mismatches with him, and they get him, you know, in the short, you know, in the middle of the field and out there on the edge. And he's sort of that wide receiver tight end hybrid that's good enough to really kind of play outside and create some mismatches that way as well. You know, they do a lot of motion. They do some things to kind of get him, you know, moving behind the formation and kind of get him matched up on a guy that they feel like he can take advantage of, like a linebacker. Then get him on a linebacker, then they're going to go to him every single time. And, you know, he's actually been surprisingly a better blocker than I think even Doug Peterson anticipated. So he's really been a help in the run game. But, yeah, he set career highs in reception yards and receiving yards and receptions. And he is putting together – he's already surpassed the best – season of a tight end in franchise history. Most catches by a tight end, most yards by a tight end in single season. So, you know, they're going to make it a priority to bring him back next year.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. What were the perspectives there of him coming back? When you look at our Travis Etienne, you know, that's another addition, right? Because he didn't play last year due to injury. What's he done as far as adding explosiveness to the offense?
Yeah, well, he had the 68-yard run last week, which was their longest touchdown play of the season. And, you know, he had had a 50-yarder, you know, earlier in the year, but he really hadn't busted loose very much this season. So that was, you know, good to kind of see him do that because, you know, we kept hearing and people kept talking about the explosiveness that this kid has. And you saw it at Clemson and you saw, you know, some 20, 30-yard runs from him, but we hadn't really seen him kind of burst on the scene or burst through the line and take off and outrun everybody. And he finally was able to do that last week. You know, he's been a big part of this offense all year. He went through a little lull, you know, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, but the last several weeks, you know, the Jags have really made a commitment to run the football, and he's been, you know, really a key part of that. Obviously, once they traded James Robinson, there's really – nobody behind him. Jamichael Hasty gets a few carries. Snoop Connor got some work last week, but it's 90% Travis Etienne, and he's delivered. The only thing that I think that we thought we would see more of is his involvement in the pass game, and that has sort of been slow to develop. But, you know, it's kind of hard to sit there and say, you know, he should be more involved when they've got production from Evan Ingram and Christian Kirk and Zay Jones. So, you know, they've really kind of relied on him more as a runner.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Zay Jones because I remember him coming out. I got pretty cool with him down there at the Senior Bowl and got to talk to him a lot. Very productive receiver at ECU. And now here he is finding ways to produce. Is that something that's more or less a product of the system? Is that Trevor Lawrence looking his way more? Because, I mean, we're talking about games where he's had 3 touchdowns, 2 touchdowns here. He's producing.
Yeah, and I think he's had a chance to be – I mean, he's their number two. So it's a new role for him. I don't think he was ever that high in the rotation, what, at Buffalo or with the Raiders. You know, he's kind of thrived on the outside here with this team. Now, he's had some issues with drops. Mm-hmm. I think he's around 10 or 11 drops, I think, at this point in the season. I'd have to go back and check. But it's double-digit drops. So he's had some issues there. But – you know, the interesting thing about this offense is it's not predicated on one guy, and they are able to have, you know, guys have big weeks and take the pressure off some of those other guys. Because there are some games where Christian Kirk really, you know, 3 catches, 4 catches, 50, 40 yards type of thing where it's, you know, really not making a big impact, but then the other guys kind of pick up the slack. And we saw, like you said, Zay Jones have a couple of really big games, and you know, he made a really good catch last week on a throw over there on the sideline. So he's delivered some big moments when they needed him. But it's another guy who set career highs in catches and receiving yards. So they're really thriving in this Doug Peterson offense. And, you know, I think Christian Kirk's the same way. Mm-hmm. We're high in receptions and receiving yards. So, you know, when you've got 3 guys setting career highs in all of that category, you know, a large part of it's because your quarterback's playing well, but a large part of it also is because the offense is designed really well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're talking to Mike DiRocco, ESPN, NFL Nation Jaguars reporter. We spent a good amount of time on the offense, but the defense, you know, as you mentioned, has been kind of the star of the show the last 2 weeks. Is it finally coming around as far as the pass rush is concerned?
Yeah, I mean, not really. I'll say this. I think, you know, they've done some different things now. They're putting Trayvon Walker down with his hand in the dirt a little bit and then rushing him from the inside on some third downs, which is sort of where he's more comfortable. And he's a little bit more explosive off the line of scrimmage when he's coming out of that three-point stance. Same thing with Josh Allen at times. And I think that that has helped both of them be a little bit more productive. But, you know, they're missing Dewan Smoot, who tore an Achilles, who was their leading sacker until Josh Allen passed him last week. So that's a big loss. And, you know, you got to look at the quarterbacks that they've played the last 2 weeks, too. I mean, like I said, Zach Wilson, Chris Streveler, Davis Mills, and Jeff Driskel the last 2 weeks. So, you know, I'm not sure that's exactly a murderer's row of quarterbacks that you have to deal with. But, you know, again, the defense has done its job against guys that they should do their job against. And they've the key for this defense has been turnovers, 9 turnovers in the last 4 games that they've forced. And when you're able to do that and then you have a lead, it kind of makes things a heck of a lot easier for your pass rush. So if they're able to get up against the Titans on Saturday night, you know, get a 10-point lead and they have to just turn those guys loose because the Titans are going to go all pass, then I think they'll have some success. But, you know, it's been sort of hit and miss for those guys this year.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, when you look at Rayshon Jenkins, you know, you mentioned turnovers. He's been a big a guy, you know, had a big play, against the Cowboys. You know, he's playing well. What have you seen from him as far as taking over that secondary?
Yeah, you know, they've used him this year more as sort of a box safety closer to the line of scrimmage as opposed to a guy that they really want to rely on in coverage a lot. And that's his wheelhouse. He's a much better player there. That's a much better role for him. You know, he blitzes a decent amount. He's one of their more effective blitzers, honestly. And, you know, he makes a lot of tackles in the run game around the line of scrimmage. So he's almost like having that extra linebacker up there to help out. And, you know, and against a guy like Derrick Henry, that's going to be really, really important. But, you know, at the beginning of the year, I wasn't sure that they would bring Rayshon back next year, but he's had been so productive. And once they figured out the best way to use him, I think they can kind of sit there and count on him as a guy that they can, you know, continue to use in that secondary next year.
Well, how is this Jaguars team? I mean, you look at Rayshon Jenkins. He plays with so much emotion, you know, and you could tell that he's probably a spark plug there for that defense, for the whole group, actually. How are they looking at this game? You know, are they extra hype and ready to go? What's the vibe in the locker room?
Well, the funny thing is they, you know, to a man, they're all like, yeah, you know, we knew we were going to be here. You know, and they were talking about Doug Peterson, you know, after the loss to Kansas City, telling these guys, hey, look, I have a feeling this is all going to come down to week 18. And, you know, it all came true. Now, that's obviously partly because the Titans have lost 6 in a row. So that's helped them. But they sort of look at this as like, we belong here. We're supposed to be here. This is where we expected to be. So I don't get a sense of them being, you know, overly hyped or overly, you know, excited or overconfident like I talked about before. I get the sense of them looking at this as like, we're just going to take care of the business. We're supposed to be here. The coach said we were going to be here. And now that we're here, we're going to go ahead and win this. We might as well win this thing. So that's kind of the sense that I get from these guys. Not a lot of overconfidence or overexcitement at all.
And then lastly, the jersey combination. Tell me about that, man. I love to get the britches report.
Teal, and teal. Teal jersey, teal pants, teal socks. You know, the Jags equipment staff, after the game on last Sunday against the Texans, they put out a Twitter poll and said, hey, what do you guys want us to wear? So they let the fans choose. And this is just the second time this year that they're going to wear that all-teal combo. First time was against the Raiders, and they came back from the 17-0 deficit and won that game. But it's my favorite look. You know, I know there are a lot of people that don't like the all-teal look, but I kind of like it. You know, and I've been lobbying this franchise to go ahead and get themselves some teal helmets for years, but that's just apparently never going to happen. But, yeah, it'll be an interesting color scheme for sure on Saturday night.
I like that black, man. That black is fire. I like that.
Yeah, the players do too. Apparently, yeah, that's the players' favorite combo when they go all black.
Yeah.
So, no, but they had already worn that. I guess that's their alternate color, the black jersey, so they couldn't do it this week.
Oh, shoot. Okay, well, hey, man, whatever works, whatever works. Well, hey, man, I appreciate you coming on. I don't know, man. Like I said, this is the competition, right, to see who gets to work another week of covering the game, man. I hope to work next week, so I'll put it to you like that. So maybe I do. We have horses in the race this time around.
Yeah, you know, I don't know whether I can schedule a tea time for next Wednesday or not yet. That's the bad part.
Yeah, man. What matters? Big things matter. All right, D-Rock, man, I will get with you on Saturday, man. Looking forward to it, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, TD. Appreciate you, bud.
All right, for sure. So that was Mike DiRocco giving me the rundown on the Jacksonville Jaguars, the white hot. You know, they should have worn. They should have worn white jerseys. They're so
yes.
hot. No, but maybe I didn't see the Britches report this week. Maybe the Titans will have the white on white. I always love the Stormtrooper look, that's just me. But nevertheless, appreciate D-Rock for coming on, giving me the rundown, man. That Jags team is hot, 4 in a row. They're looking to make it 5. They could be the first team to have a 5-game win streak and 5-game losing streak in one season the postseason. The Titans could be the first team to lose all games in December and make the postseason. So one way or another, history's going to be made. How about that? We'll see what happens. Either way, we'll be back on here next week to wrap it up, whatever goes on. Definitely appreciate DiRocco for coming on, Chris Sanders making it happen, David James keeping this thing rolling.
Yes, sir.
This is what we do each and every week. But guess what? I appreciate each of you for tuning in. Definitely rate, review, search first, right? Talking with TD on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, rate, review. We appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. God bless and good night.